Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach just outside of Washington, D.C. Bad traffic is a great time each week to do a brain dump and a brainstorm, and I've heard it said that the things that you focus on expand. So why not focus on teaching, right? As a classroom teacher, as an instructional coach, I love putting a little bit of time each day focusing on my craft, what can I do to get better. And so each week we do a podcast, about 10 to 15 minutes, here in the car, depending on how bad the traffic is. And it's a chance to think about things to put in play or in practice in your classroom. Bite-sized strategies so that you don't get caught up in theory and educational jargon and nonsense, but like actionable, like plug and play, you can make it happen today sorts of things. Pocket-sized PD, because the one size fits all doesn't really work. And this week it's Thanksgiving week, and we're talking all about gratitude. But before we get there, some housekeeping notes. If you like the podcast and you want to subscribe on your favorite podcasting app, awesome. That would help other people find it. If you leave a rating there that says, hey, you digged it, that'd be cool too. So I'm on iTunes and Spotify and all those podcasty things. If you like and you want to connect further, this is just one person's thoughts, and I would love to keep the dialogue going all week long. As an instructional coach, I work with people all content areas, all ages, all experiences, all backgrounds. So please reach out to me. I am on Twitter at MeehanEDU, and I will gladly follow you back. We can talk about this all week long. That's Meehan, like my last name, and EDU, like teaching. And if you dig it and you want to talk further, I have a website. It's www.adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline, because I'm fired up about teaching. And Adrenaline Rush is actually the name of my book. It's all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. Okay, that's enough of that. Now, let's talk about Thanksgiving and gratitude. Thanksgiving is that time of year we get together and, you know, put all the beef aside, put all of the, you know, politics aside, put all the fights and all the acrimony and all of this partisan nonsense aside. We just say, hey, for this day, I'm thankful. I'm grateful for you. You know, we spend some time with family, have food in the company of people who we love and people who we really wanted to see for a long time, but things get busy, right? And so I wanted to take some time and share things that I'm thankful for, because before Black Friday hits and we all go shopping again, and it's funny because Thursday you say all the things you're thankful for, and then Friday you're like, but I want more. Here in the United States, at least, it's a weird sort of paradox. But I love the idea of being able to take time once a year to just, you know, be thankful. And I try to, on Twitter, push out every year things I'm thankful for that relate to education. So this podcast is going to be about that. This might be a little name-droppy, it might be a little inside baseball, but thinking about this as a model or a template, if you were doing the same thing, what would your Thanksgiving teacher thankful list look like? And I'm going to kind of break it down into chunks and parts. First and foremost, I'm thankful for my family. I'm going to get emotional as I say this. There's been a lot of great things that happened to me this year. I wrote my first book. That's crazy. I've traveled all over the United States. I've had some incredible blessings and luxuries that are afforded me because of my job. But to be able to have people I could reach out to and just connect with in the good times and in the stress and the hard stuff, you know, to have people who know you can pick up the phone and call them. You know, I check in with my mom at least, you know, 3-4 times a week. You know, check out my dad. I come up and see both of them and, you know, spend holidays with them, and it's wonderful. My brother, I mentioned it back in March in the podcast, or April, but my brother and his wife had a baby this year, and that's an incredible blessing. I've had a chance to become an uncle for the first time with my wife, and that's been a beautiful thing. So I'm very grateful for, you know, the blessing of family. My aunt was also my godmother. You know, she's incredibly supportive of me on Twitter, and not just there, but like in real life too. It's like having my fan club, having people who cheer for me and fill me up. My mom was funny too, because you know, though she's very appreciative and very, you know, proud of me, certainly, she said, John Michael, you wrote a book, and that's good, I'm really proud of you, but when are you gonna write like a real book, you know, like a book with a story, like a work of fiction, like a novel? And I'm laughing because it's like, yeah, I'd wrote a book about teaching, but it's pretty much a big old instruction manual of like how to run a classroom, which is not so different from like how to turn on your Keurig machine. So I'm laughing because I'm wondering if you know, there's always someone who's there to not only cheer for you but keep you humble. So I think about that stuff too. So certainly thankful for family, for sure. And ask yourself that question, you know, in your own life, who are you thankful for? Is it, you know, moms and dads? Is it your own children? Is it a spouse? Is it a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle? loved ones who might have sort of made their way into family, who might not be blood, but you still consider them family. That certainly is something to think about and be grateful for as a teacher. Behind every great man, they say there's a great woman, and I think behind every great teacher, there's certainly a great family of support, whatever that can look like. And I mentioned friends that can become a family too, but I'm so grateful for colleagues, IRL, like people in my building, people who are, you know, in my cohort, who I know and I spend a lot of time with. I say often that steel sharpens steel. And as a runner, if you run with people who are just a little bit faster than you, you force yourself to get fast, to get good. You sort of play to the level of the competition. And as a teacher, I like to think that, I mean, the research bears it out. The teachers who are, you know, pushing themselves tend to keep company with other teachers who push themselves, because it pushes them to be better. It validates their experience. Teachers who are struggling tend to seek the company of other teachers who are similarly experiencing a struggle, because it normalizes their experience. It's much easier if you're struggling to be around other people who are struggling with you for the same reasons. And that could be because of an administrative situation. It could be because of, you know, a financial situation. It could be all sorts of mental health issues, whatever it looks like. And I don't mean struggling like good or bad teachers. I just mean like as you're going through good stuff, to be around people who are doing good stuff. And as you're dealing with hard stuff, to go through it with people who are dealing with hard stuff. So as I name drop a few people here on the podcast, but I'm so grateful for my administration, who is incredibly supportive of the work that I do as a coach inside and outside of the building. You know, as a Catholic school educator, it's hard to make a dent in professional development and public education, because so much of PD is tied up in like Title II funds, and, you know, state initiatives and national initiatives, very top down. And a tiny little Catholic school in Arlington, Virginia, it's crazy to think that I'm getting a seat at the table for these national dialogues with people who are, you know, state teachers of the year or presenting at these large national conferences. And it's through an incredible support from my principal, Carl, for my vice principal, Megan, for our head of school, who's like our superintendent, Joe. They've been incredibly supportive of the work that I do, knowing that there are times where I need to not be in the classroom so I can go to these conferences and I can present these things and I can have a seat at the table, and that we could raise the bar and the platform of what people are thinking and saying about Catholic schools to really help change this perspective of like old school Catholic schools with nuns and desks in rows and like smacking kids with rulers on the hands. You know, I think that one of the coolest things I get to see when I go to conferences, and I'm grateful for it, is people who say, and I hear it, you know, they come out and say, oh my gosh, he's doing that in a Catholic school. How much more can we do in XYZ, right? A magnet school or a charter school or a public school or something with, you know, better funding or better resources or better technology. You know, my building's very old. We're in like a building that's nearing 60 years old. And we have a median faculty age of probably, I want to say 52. And that might be like even conservative. That we have a lot of teachers who come right out of college in their 20s or early 30s. We don't have a lot of teachers in their 30s and 40s and 50s in the building, because Catholic education doesn't pay as well as some of the public school alternatives, private school alternatives. And we operate at a deficit that we only charge, like I think 87% of what it costs to actually run our school in our tuition. So even though there's a tuition attached to it, we operate at a loss every year. We depend on donations. We depend on, you know, people who send their kids there, who become legacy donors for the rest of their life because they see a value in the work that we're doing. And so I'm very grateful for them too, as our family and community of support. Because that means that when we're offering this thing, even though it feels like, well, that's the ritzy private school, it's not. Like, you're within 20 miles of Washington, D.C., there are like 3 or 5 of the top 10 performing school districts in the country. Fairfax County is really, really good. Virginia, Montgomery County in Maryland is fantastic. There's 3 and 4 other ones that I'm thinking of, and I'm just blanking on. Alexandria, Arlington, like really good public schools in the... And that's hard to compete with, because families have a lot of options in the D.C. area, so they choose it with their money and their time and investment in that Catholic education. I'm very grateful for them. I'm very kind and thankful for that too. Other teachers in my building who just make me want to be a better teacher when I see the work that they're doing in the classroom. As an instructional coach, you get to see everything from the top and from like below, both from the grass tops and the grassroots. So the teachers who've let me into their classrooms to observe or to lesson plan with them or to co-plan or to unit plan with them, to the teachers who've come to the weekend events or the seminars or the conferences, who give me a chance and give me their time. You know, I say often that teachers hate it when we go to meetings that waste their time, or waste their money, because we don't have a lot of either of those things. And so I'm incredibly grateful for people who take time out of their day or money out of their pocket, either to pick up the Adrenaline Rush book or to invite me to their schools and have a chance to hang out and connect. And this is not like for the sake of, you know, pat myself on the back for the brand. Like a lot of these things, when I travel to schools, I do operate on a deficit myself. It costs money to get there, and I just do it, you know, as like a, hey, this is what I'm able to do because I have that day free, and my school is flexible to like help us raise the profile awareness of, like, we're not making a killing on that. But somebody somewhere had to pay for these teachers to go to those conferences, or some teacher somewhere had to, like, you know, decide for themselves, hey, if there's one book I'm going to buy this year for teaching, it's going to be this one. And it means a lot to me. So I really do appreciate that. So if you've been one of those listeners or one of those teachers I had a chance to meet with, who reached out again on Twitter, my PLN, my people who've become my friends and family, who I meet at conferences, certainly all the publishing family of Dave Burgess, I could not be doing what I'm doing without the support of the Burgesses. Dave and Shelley have been amazing. And these other incredible authors who I had a chance to meet at conferences or at book signings or events where, like, we all get together and say, you know, there's nothing really sad about it. I'm not trying to, like, you know, be a rain on your parade on a gratitude week. But as we roll into these conferences with, like, you know, 500 or 1,000 or 10,000 people, and we have our little bag or box of books, hoping with our fingers crossed that maybe we can sell a few. It's kind of lonely when you roll that bag in and you wave to everybody, hey, how you doing? And you give this great crackerjack presentation, and sometimes books just don't sell. It's just the nature of the conference, especially if you're at a school-based thing. People don't like afterwards to be hit up for money. And so you have your bag of books, and like Charlie Brown, you know, walking home with his head low, or Linus with a blanket. You know, you just have this just as many books when you leave. And so for the teachers who are in it, who are publishing, but still working in the classroom, like, I commend you. There's a lot of people who throw a lot of negative around on Twitter, trying to knock people for making an honest living because they feel that, like, this teacher writing or consulting is in any way false or fake. But I've been there in the trenches. I live this life where I'm a classroom working teacher, and I'm also a working instructional coach, and I'm also an author, and I'm also a speaker and a conference presenter. And if you're in this life like I'm in this life, I appreciate you, because it's nice to talk to people, you know, over a drink or over a meal at one of these conferences, and be like, oh, so it's crazy for you too. Yeah, it's super demoralizing when you have to carry your books back and, or, you know. So if you've been one of those people who's been a Twitter rock star and had a chance to, you know, run into me at a conference, or I've had a chance really to run into you, I thank you, because you are inspirations for me to want to keep doing it and to do it at a level that, like, you know, don't let the haters hate, right? So I appreciate that, for sure. And I guess last but not least, I want to say about gratitude, I want to say to my students, I tell my students every day, your favorite class is the one that you like the most, but your best class is the one where you learn the most. And I hope every day, my honor, or I try to honor the commitment, is that my class should be both of those things. If I do my job right every day, and if you do your job right every day, it should be the class that you love and look forward to, but you're also learning incredible amounts. I heard somebody say it on Twitter the other day, you know, I want my kids to be explorers, not encyclopedias. And so whatever you are doing in my class to move forward in that exploration, I honor that, I respect that, I'm charged by that, and I appreciate it. As students, like, you only get one swing of the bat when it comes to your 11th grade English class, and that you and your families entrust your time with me. I don't take that responsibility lightly. I take it very, very seriously. So even though I do a lot with toys and games and competitions and contests and athletic-looking, you know, events and, you know, a lot of adrenaline, right? You know, like, when I peel back the mask and I'm just, like, real, you know, this is just John talking on a podcast or, you know, having a one-on-one conversation with a family, that you trust me in what we do, because I'm always trying to think about what's in your best interest and designing this event in the classroom so that you're the star of the show and that you feel like the hero. Because school can often feel like so removed from the everyday reality of life in a bad way, where it feels like this is a, you know, a mechanical slog through a machine, like meat through a grinder, that you feel like you were never really listened to or heard. And then when you leave, you don't know who you are. And the world outside of school is hard enough. You have students dealing with their, you know, their own hopes and fears and aspirations, their own struggles with identity and sexuality and faith and, you know, perception and gender and all these sorts of things about who they are. And it's like, you know, isn't the world outside of school hard enough? And can't our classrooms be a reprieve from that? And that's, you know, I'd say in my book, it's out of Dave Burgess's book too. Like, you know, school can either be a reprieve from that soul-killing suckiness, or it could be, you know, a contribution to it. And I want my classrooms to be places of wonder, excitement, joy, and adrenaline. And so that you are, you know, if you're a student and listening, your family who's listening, I appreciate the heck out of you for letting me do this crazy thing where I just build a cool sandbox and I watch you create these really cool castles inside of it. I thank you for that. You know, I don't know if you don't have to be a particularly spiritual person to recognize there's something bigger at play there that feels like you're connected to a purpose. And yeah, it means a lot. So thanks. So anyways, that's my gratitude podcast for the year of 2019. Thankful to family, thankful to friends, thankful to professional networks, to colleagues, of course, and to my students. And I'm sure you might have a million others. I could do a whole nother one on just apps in the classroom, right? Apps I'm grateful for. People who make my job easier because they build really cool things that teachers can use. But I'd love to hear your thoughts about what are you thankful for this year for Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and New Year's and Thanksgiving. Because we're in that crazy part of the year where the holidays are kicking in. And regardless of your faith tradition, you're at that spot where you're saying, you know, this is a time to start thinking about how this year was, how this year ends, and how the next year can begin. So as we kick off that holiday season, you know, what are you thankful for? What are you grateful for in your education career? Long one today. Thank you for your listening. And if you're listening, I'm thankful for you. Would love to talk further. Hit me up on Twitter. Have a great holiday break for the late November break, whatever you call it. And we'll be back in a few days with more. Thanks.